Good morning. Oh, good. You guys are better this week. Actually answering back when I said good morning. It's great to be with you. My name is Jeff Arnold, and I'm pastor of Congregational Care here at MPC, and I'm so glad that you are joining us for worship this morning. Whether it's your first time with us or you have been here more times than you can count, I'm so glad that you are here with us this morning. A couple things. Last few weeks, we have had up here a huge turquoise picnic table, which has been up here, and that has been to represent our series on hospitality. That table has been removed this week and is being sealed, and probably next week you will see it out in the corner of our property over that direction, and just a great vision and reminder of hospitality that we can be inviting other people in to be a part of conversations and getting to know them. But this past week, I wasn't supposed to be the one that was going to be preaching this morning, and I got a message from Jesse, who was going to be preaching, and he said, "I am under the weather, and I'm not going to be able to preach." And he was going to give you one more bonus week on hospitality, but I got nothing left on hospitality for you. So, no, I'm sure there's more, but that was not the message that God had for me. And so in thinking about, okay, God, what do you have? Like, what is it that I need to be speaking and sharing this morning? The word gratitude came to mind. And so this morning we're going to talk about gratitude and the importance of gratitude in our lives for each of us. Not just for us, but how gratitude can be such a gift for other people when we demonstrate that. So I want you to think for a second. What are you grateful for? What are you grateful for? Really think about it for a minute. Let's pretend for a moment that I'm going to call on you by name, or you're thinking, good, he doesn't know my name. I'm going to call on you anyways, even though I don't know your name. Let's pretend that. What would you say if someone asked you, what are you grateful for? It's an important exercise for us to take part in, because so often we speed past those things that we are grateful for, and we only think about our aches and pains or complaints that we have, and not to diminish those, because those are real too, but when we fail to express gratitude, we miss out on what God has in store for us. Gratitude is so, so important. Too often we treat many of the people and things that we are grateful for like a to-do list where we just check it off. We're like, okay, we're done with that. You know, I told them thank you, so I never need to say thank you again. Or I let them know that I appreciated them, so good, I'm done with that. But gratitude is not a checklist. It's not marking something off on our calendars. It's part of an attitude of what we need to live out and who we are. It's a part of us. And that is something that needs to flow out of who we are so that other people can receive that. You know, all of us have special days that we celebrate, you know, birthdays, Mother's Day, Father's Day, Veterans Day, Memorial Day, which is going to be on Monday, Easter and Christmas, and we have specific days that are set aside for those things. And you love it, I'm sure, when you are celebrated on your birthday, or maybe as you get older, you're not as excited to be celebrated on your birthday, perhaps. But it's more than just one day that we can celebrate those things. And as we think about our faith in Christ, and for those that believe in Jesus, as followers of Jesus, we are not restricted to giving thanks to God one day a week on Sundays for that 1 hour when we are in worship, but that's something that we can do all the time. Because in worship, we are essentially giving gratitude for God for what he has done for us through his son, Jesus Christ. That very first Easter Sunday, it moved the day of worship from Saturday that the Jews had celebrated to Sunday, because it was a day of resurrection. And so from that time forward, we set aside Sundays for special days to remember. But that isn't the only day that we can express gratitude for God and what he has done for us. Psalm 118:24 says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And I'll confess, I say that verse out loud a lot, But I use it in different ways. Sometimes I'll say it and it's like, oh, this is a great day, God, that you have given to us. And so I'm living into that. Other times I will say it because I need to be reminded, because my attitude is not that great. There are hard things that are in front of me. And so this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And there's other times where there may be people that are arguing in the back seat, and it's a perfect reminder maybe for them to hear that there's still good things that God has in store for us, even in the midst of the conflicts that are going on. Well, in today's passage, it speaks to our giving thanks always, to our having gratitude. So let's listen to these words from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Commentator William Barclay reminds us there is always something for which to give thanks, to express gratitude. Even on the darkest day, there are blessings to count. We must remember that if we face the sun, the shadows will fall behind us. But if we turn our backs on the sun, all the shadows will be in the front. The events of this past week in Texas were unthinkable. And in the midst of the loss, I read stories of parents that were expressing the gratitude for the gift that their kids had been in their lives. And I heard them in the midst of their grief imploring those who would listen to hold on extra tight to your kids, to give them an extra hug, and to let them know how much you love them. In the midst of grief and loss and unthinkable pain, there was still gratitude for their kids' lives. Well, this past week, I listened to a book that I have read before. It's called Running for My Life by Lopez Lamong. And it's a story of his life. And he was born in Sudan, and at the age of 6 years old, at an outdoor worship service in the midst of a country that was in the middle of a civil war, the rebel forces came into the worship service that was an outdoor service, and they took every child that was there. And they took them away by force. And he was pulled out of his mother's arms and taken away and put into essentially this concentration camp, where the objective of these rebel soldiers was to train these young children so that they themselves would become child soldiers to fight against the other side. Well, at 6 years old, it was hard for him to even think of himself. And thankfully, there were three other boys that were also captured. They were at this place that said to him, "You're Peter's younger brother, aren't you?" And he said, "Yes." And they said, "Well, stick with us. We're going to look out for you," because they were from the same village. And so these three other boys, who he calls his three angels, in his book, he can't even remember their names, but he calls them his three angels. They look out for him and they take care of him. When the one huge pot of food is pushed into their hut, where there are 40 or 50 boys inside, these boys help to make sure that he receives some food and that he's able to eat. They look after him and they care for him. And 3 weeks into their time there, the boys communicate to him that tonight you cannot go to sleep, because tonight we are going to try to escape. And so the sun goes down and he's nervous, and the boys make sure that they are nearby to him, and they get up in the middle of the night and they sneak over to the door of the hut, and they get out the door and they army crawl across the camp to the far side. And there are soldiers that are sitting around fires, and they are drinking and they are smoking and they are yelling and they are shouting, and they don't hear these four little boys, ages 12 to 6, that are crawling behind them. And they escape out of the outer fence of the camp, and they just start to run. And they start to run. And they run until the sun is coming up, and his legs ached, and his feet hurt and bled, and the bushes would scrape against his leg. And he said, we would sleep during the day, and we would run at night, because we didn't want to be caught. And they fled for multiple days until they finally reached a different country. They thought they were returning back to their homeland, but where they returned was to Kenya. They arrived in Kenya, and they were put into a UN refugee camp called Kakuma. And Lopez lived there for 10 years at this camp. And in this camp, they would have school each day, but they didn't have books that they could read. And so they would have to scratch things on the ground, and the teacher would walk around and try to help them to learn English. And he quickly learned Swahili, which is the language in Kenya. And he was learning all these things, and these three boys were no longer there. He didn't know where they had gone, but he found other people that cared for him and walked with him, and they loved and cared for each other in this place. And throughout these experiences of hard things that were happening, he continued to give thanks, because even though these terrible things had happened to him, his faith in God was strong, and he believed in the promises that God had for him. Numerous times he would cry out to God and say, God, hear my prayer. Hear my cry to you in the midst of these hard things. One of the things he loved to do at the camp as a young boy was to play soccer, and he loved soccer so much. But as the camp continued to grow and grow, and all of these refugees came from Sudan as they were fleeing the civil war, the camp was quite large, and so there were a large number of kids that wanted to play soccer. And so in order to pick teams and determine who could play, they determined that you would have to run first before you could be out on the field playing in the game. And so they would run the perimeter of this camp. And the perimeter of the camp was 30 kilometers, 18 miles. He would run 18 miles before playing soccer. How many of you have ever run 18 miles? You don't want to play soccer after you've run 18 miles, I promise you, but he would do this, and that's why the book is called Running for My Life. And in it, he enjoyed the passion of being able to play soccer. There was a chapel service that would happen each week, and he was always present, wanting to be there and to grow in his understanding of God's love for him. And he was baptized in a little river that was there close by to the camp and professed his faith in Christ. And Catholic Charities was a group that came into Kakuma, and they were looking at the possibility that some of these lost boys of Sudan might be able to come to the United States and be adopted by families. And a family adopted him, and he came to the United States and had a learning curve of all of these things that he didn't understand. The language was such a challenge for him, and everything, whatever question he would be asked, he would say yes. And his parents say, why do you always say yes? Later they would ask him, and he said, I didn't know what else to say, but yes. So he's adopted by this family, and running had been in his background, and he wanted to play soccer. And so he said to the family, I must run first before I play soccer. And they're like, okay, how far do you want to run? And he said, 30 kilometers. And the dad went over, and he called the cross-country coach, who was a friend of his, and said, I think you might want to come meet my son. Well, needless to say, he was a star in high school, and he went on to run in college, and by his junior year of college, he decided to turn pro. He was sponsored by Nike, and he ran for the United States in the 2008 Olympics in Beijing, and he had the honor of being the flag bearer. He was, and that's an honor that's bestowed upon the person that those other Olympians vote for, and the Olympians said, we want you to be the one that represent us, because he understood so much the value and the freedom that was present in a country that had embraced him and loved him and welcomed him in. And he said there was no greater honor. Now, he didn't win a medal, which he was disappointed with, but he said the gift of being able to carry the flag was great. He was at a news conference there before these competitions, and after he had spoke and shared some of his story, He was walking down the hallway, and he was stopped by someone and said, "Hey, Coach K wants you to talk to the basketball team." And he said, "Coach K wants me to talk to the basketball team?" And they brought him into another room, and the USA basketball team was sitting in there. And he said, "I want you to tell your story exactly as you just shared it in that news conference, because I want each person here to hear and understand the power of being able to wear this uniform with USA across it." And so he said he did that, and afterwards, each of the players came up and shook his hand, and he said, "I was shaking hands with Kobe Bryant and LeBron James and Dwayne Wade." And he said, "They wanted their picture with me?" It's like, what is that? What is that? But in the midst of this story, there are heart-wrenching things. He finds out that his family knew and understood that he had gone to Kakuma, and his mom searched for him. His mom from Sudan searched for him and found him. And he called her on the phone, and this is years later, and he barely even understands his native tongue. And his mom says, "I want you to come home." And he says, "Mom, I have a new home. I can't come home, but I will come and visit." And he comes and visits. And he lives a life in such a way where he wants to live out of the gratitude that he has for the things that God has done. And while I've almost told you the whole story and saved you from buying the book, it's a story that's so captivating because he lives out in his life these verses from 1 Thessalonians 5. "Rejoice always, pray continually. In everything, give thanks to God, for this is his will for you in Christ Jesus." He lives that out. He is so thankful for the things that God has done. And these verses from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, they are not a suggestion. But when you look at the original language, they are a directive. They are an order. You are to rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in everything. Rejoice always is to be joyful. It's not the same as commanding somebody to be happy. I know that sometimes we can do that where, smile, you be happy, but we can't just immediately get there with whatever we're going through. But throughout Scripture, we are called to joy in the midst of the sufferings that we face. We're called to joy in the midst of the sufferings that we face. And in knowing Jesus, we have a perspective that allows us to rejoice always, even when we are unhappy, even when things are not going our way. We are still called to rejoice regardless of our feelings. We're called to pray continually, and this does not mean we pray nonstop. Even the disciples weren't able to do that, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus said, "Stay here and keep watch and pray for me." They fell asleep. We're not to stay up 24/7, constantly be praying, but what that does mean in pray continually, it's when you think about something, it's when it's on your mind, it's when you can't go throughout your day with it without it impacting you. It's like having someone on your mind or in your thoughts, and they are not far from you, even though they may be far away. It means rather to think and to live. We ought to live into the presence of God in our lives. And such prayer means nothing less than practicing the presence of God in our lives each and every day in everything that we do. And in everything, give thanks to God. In everything, give thanks to God. And as we do these three things, Christ calls us to a life of joy, prayer, and gratitude. We are called to a life of joy and prayer and gratitude because there is a richness that comes from living out these three things. You know, we can allow our surroundings to feel like our reality. We can be consumed by thoughts, worrying about a child, worrying about a job, worrying about finances, worrying about health. We can become consumed with those things. But Matthew 6:34 says, "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. It's a verse worth memorizing because it comes in handy a lot, because we are people that like to worry about things. And yet that verse is such a reminder to not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow is going to worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. It doesn't say that you don't think about tomorrow, that you don't plan for what's to come, but what good does worry do for our lives? But takes away and drains the joy that we have in other things. If we choose to be thankful, we can become just that. We can be grateful for what God has done and what he has in store for us. Matthew 12:34 says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. What are you filling your heart with? What are you filling your life with that's being poured into you? I know that there have been times for me, and perhaps it's true for you, where you've gone down and you're off the path that you need to be on, and you're heading down this path and you realize it's affecting everything else that you're doing. How you speak to other people, how you sleep or don't sleep at night, because you're consumed by these thoughts because you've gone down this one direction. And what God would have us do instead is to live into gratitude, to live out of gratitude, because gratitude can be contagious. When you're around somebody who's positive and thankful and communicates their appreciation for you, you start to see all of the good things that are going on around you, and you start to feel like, wow, things are pretty good. And sometimes it only takes focusing on one positive thing in the midst of a ton of things that could easily drag you down to lift you out of that pit and into a place where God can use you to encourage somebody else. If we are filled up by great things that God has for us, they are going to flow out of us. So let's be filled with great things. Let's be filled with great things that allow God to flow out of who we are in powerful, powerful ways. We need more gratitude in our lives because there is enough negativity already in our world. The word gratitude is derived from the Latin word gratis. You think about grace or graciousness or gratefulness. Gratitude is a thankful appreciation for what an individual receives. You know, being grateful helps people connect to something larger than themselves. Think about that for a second. We need one another. I mean, I don't know if you have gratitude for yourself. I don't know if that's even a possible thing. You know, I'm thankful that I'm alive, but do you have gratitude for yourself? Way to go. You know, you're patting yourself on the back. We need one another. When we receive gratitude or thanks from another person, it lifts us up in a different way than just feeling good about ourselves. That gratitude is something that speaks to our need for one another. Because we are not in this alone, we are in this life together. One of the shows that I like to watch, that I'm really the only one in our household that likes to watch, is a show that's called Alone. It's kind of an outdoor survival show, and by the name, you can guess that they pretty much drop individuals off all by themselves, and they just have to survive out in the woods. And I love it because it's fun to watch them, you know, from nothing, you know, build a cabin or a hut, and then, you know, they have to find their own food, and they have to survive. And so to see them working on that is really fun to watch. The next part of the show that's interesting is it comes to the point where people just, they can't take it anymore. They either don't have enough food, and so if they lose too much weight and are having problems, there's a medical team that will pull them out, and so they're disqualified from the show. But usually what happens is someone will get to the point where they're just tired. They're tired of being by themselves. They miss their family and their friends, and they recognize that they need somebody else besides themselves, that they need that. And it's fascinating to see, they may have everything figured out. I mean, it's impressive. Sometimes they'll even make games. They'll carve little wood pieces. They'll make dice. One season, this guy made a little football game that he'd play, and then he's like, I'm done here. I'm so bored out of my mind. It's time to go home. I miss my family and my friends. But we need one another because the benefits that we receive in gratitude from others, or as we even give gratitude to others, are great. Gratitude is a positive emotion. With that, there's improved health. It can help you deal with adversity. It can improve your relationships. One study showed that when couples express gratitude towards one another of things that they appreciate, that it's so much easier for them to communicate frustrations that they have. And those things are far better received because they have been grateful to the other. I would not suggest or recommend trying that for the next 2 weeks, though, or you might get blamed that you're trying to express a frustration followed, you know, with a gratitude first and a frustration second. So stay away from that for a couple weeks. My advice to you. Well, this last week, Jen and I celebrated our anniversary. And so on Tuesday night, we went out to dinner, and it was great to be able to go out to dinner and just have some time to give thanks for our marriage and for the gift of being able to work in ministry together. And we're out at dinner, and the waitress comes over, and of course there are some flowers around the table that were there, and she said, oh, what's the occasion? What are you celebrating? And we said, we're celebrating our anniversary. And she's like, oh my goodness, that's wonderful. It's your anniversary. And she's like, how long have you been married? And Jen and I kind of look at each other, and we're like, did we say this out loud? No, I'll tell that story later. So we say to her, we've been married 25 years. And she's like, oh my goodness, 25 years. And I'm like, I know, we're really old. And some people after the first service said, you don't know old. But for me, you know, having been married that percentage of my life, I'm feeling old. Okay, so I said 25 years. And she's like, no, 25, that's not long. She's like, it's a quarter of a century. And I thought Jen was going to fall out of her chair. She was laughing so hard. We went from years to century, even though it was only a quarter of a century, and was like, oh my goodness, you've been married for a quarter of a century. And so, you know, I looked at her and I said, you're not even that old, are you? And she's like, no, I'm not. I'm like, okay, all right, thank you. Well, then the manager came by a little bit later, and he was super friendly and kind, and you know, said, happy anniversary, congratulations. And a little bit later in the meal, the manager came back. And he said, just checking in to make sure everything's good. And sometimes I'm conversational with our waiters and waitresses. And so I said, yeah, everything's good. We're getting food. I'm like, but have you had anything to eat? And he's like, actually, yeah. I went to Wawa before work, and they've got these amazing paninis. They're so good. And I started laughing. I'm like, seriously? And he's like, oh my goodness, they're so good. You won't even believe it. And he started telling a story about his time at Wawa and how he would go there all the time, like all the time. And when he would go there, he always saw this woman with a young man, and he wondered what their story was. And so one day he went over and asked them, and he found out that they were homeless. And so that they had to pretty much stay in Wawa most of the day to be inside in air conditioning, to be protected from the elements. And our conversation clearly went from, have you had something today, to something more serious. And as he continued to share, he said, you know, I was homeless once, not that many years ago. And he said, there was someone who believed in me, who took a chance and helped me out. And he said, and now I'm a manager here at this restaurant. And he said, so when I heard their story, I wasn't going to let that be the end. And he said, so I told them to meet me the next day, and he came and he picked them up and he brought them to the restaurant and hired them. One of them buses tables, the other one does dishes in the back. And he's telling us this story, and he's talking, and pretty soon the mom comes up and is right there, and we're meeting her, and we're like, oh my goodness, it's so good to meet you. And and she heads out again. And as he's sharing all of that he's sharing, and the reason behind his desire is because the gratitude that he has to God for others stepping up in his life and being present for him. He talked about his faith in Christ. He talked about how he wanted to help other people too, and he wasn't going to just let that be the end of it. And so by the end of this conversation, which lasted a while, there was food on the table that was still cooking in front of us, and let's just say it was more like beef jerky at that point because it was well done. But we're exchanging phone numbers, and we have a couch and a dryer lined up to be able to give to this mom and her son who are in need of things. And it was such a gift. In conversation, celebrating an anniversary, gratitude for 25 years of marriage, that there was gratitude in his own life of things that God had done for him and had brought him out of this place that had been so hard to be a place that was such a gift of looking for ways to love and care for others. In a study by psychologist Dr. Robert Emmons, he took three groups of people. One group, he required that each day they write down things that they were grateful for. Another group, he had write down things that annoyed them that day. And the third group, he just had write down whatever came to mind. Well, after 10 weeks of this study, the group that had written down things that they had gratitude for and things that they were grateful for, they were at a much better mental health place than those other two groups. He said, by far, they had gone to the doctor much less, significantly less than those other groups. They were exercising more than those other groups because they felt good about themselves. Have you found that to be true for you? When you live into gratitude, do you find yourself, when you live into gratitude, in a better place than when you just find yourself down or not speaking up or saying anything at all? The benefits of gratitude are great, and they are free for us. We have to make the effort of expressing gratitude and receiving gratitude from others. But friends, they are contagious. And when we live into those things, it helps us to live out in such a way so that other people will experience that same thing. There's some practical steps that you can take, and so I want to challenge you this week to think about ways that you can live into gratitude yourself. On the back of your bulletin, underneath the sermon notes section that I know you've entirely filled out to this point, there's a section on gratitude where there are five numbers there. You can think of five things that you are grateful for, and I want you to do that later this week. Or maybe you just want to journal about it. Your gratitude for life, your gratitude for God and what he has done for you. Or maybe you just want to think about it. You want to have a space maybe each day where you take a few minutes at the end of the day to think about, what are you thankful for this day? What do you have gratitude for in this day that God has done for you? Or maybe you want to just share your gratitude with someone. You want to approach somebody that you care about and that you appreciate and just let them know how much you appreciate them. That's something that you can do this week. Or maybe you want to write them a note and just let them know that you are thinking about them or that you care about them or that you're grateful for them. I did that this week. I thought if I'm going to tell people to do that, I probably should do that myself. And a friend of mine from high school reached out and we text back and forth three or four times a year, and he reached out to me and said, I've been in the hospital this past week. The doctors don't know what's going on. I know you're somebody that prays, so if you can pray, I'd appreciate that. And so I said, absolutely, and I went, and when I got home, I found his address and wrote him a note, and part of that note was certainly letting him know that I hope he feels better and prayers for the medical staff that they find out what's going on, But more than that, I made it about just the gratitude that I had for him and for his friendship, and that I'm thankful and grateful for him. And in writing that note, he hasn't even received it yet because it's still in the mail, but in writing that note, I felt better. I felt better. When you let other people know that you appreciate them, you will feel better. It's an amazing thing. Or maybe you want to give somebody a gift because that's how they receive appreciation. Or maybe it's just praying and giving thanks to God for all that you have to be thankful for. But I want you to try one of those things this week. And I want you to think about how you can live into gratitude in your life each and every day. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks with a grateful heart, thankful for what Christ has done for you. Too often we think of the things that we have on a wish list of things that we would like to have happen, but what we ought to do is to look back at the things that have happened, the opportunities we have to live out gratitude for things even from long ago. Psalm 118:24 again says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Friends, we have so much to be grateful and thankful for. And when we live out of a place of gratitude, other people want to be around that. Other people want to be a part of that. And as you express gratitude, it's a great opportunity for you to be able to share your faith, to share the love of Christ, which you yourself have experienced. We need gratitude, thankfulness to be an attitude that is a part of us, that overflows out of who we are. Let's not allow our thanks and appreciation to simply be something that we check off a list, but let's allow it to be something that permeates who we are in such a way that it's unmistakable for other people to see in our lives. Rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. Let's pray together. Oh God, we give you thanks for this day and for your love for us. And God, I just ask that you would be present in powerful ways, that you would help us to live into gratitude in who we are and in what we do and in what we say. This week, might we have the eyes to see those people that can use some encouragement, that we can communicate to the appreciation and love that we have for them. God, thank you for this day and for worship. Help us to recognize and know that it's not limited to this time, but each and every day we can give thanks to you for all you have done in our lives. God, go before us into this week. Give us the eyes and the ears to see and to hear the places that you're working, that we can join you in them. We lift up these things and pray them in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to stand as we sing our closing song together.